Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Welcome to Save the Cowboy, everybody. Good morning. Listen, I got, if you saw my Facebook post, you'll understand what I'm about to say. The good news is I got finished with my sermon early. The bad news is that it's a little long. Okay, I'm just warning you now. We will take a break around 4. Tomorrow morning around 9, we'll have some burritos delivered. Tomorrow night, we're going to have pizza. Tuesday morning, Sherilyn's making pancakes. We should wrap up between 2 and 3 Tuesday, okay? So, you'll have to, if I don't have a lot of fun banter, I have a lot to cover, and I'm super excited about it. And I only have 2 things that I really want to say. First thing, does anybody know Jack Lawler? You know where Jack Lawler is right now? He's watching live from Puerto Rico with the Lowrys. Jack, I've been invited to Puerto Rico as well, and I'm coming to take your spot. So, anyway, good morning to the Lowrys and the Lawler in Puerto Rico. And I also want to give a shout out to one of our Long X Ranch Cowboys, Mike Taylor. He had a very, very extensive cancer surgery in his mouth and stuff like that. Came through just as good as could be expected. Mike, the prayers worked. We love you, buddy. And we're going to continue to pray for you and everybody else out there that I may not know about. Understand that we pray for the people we know about that are sick, and we also pray about the people we don't know about, okay? So, you know, don't think that just because we don't know, we're not praying for y'all. We cover everybody in Save the Cowboy prayers daily, don't we? So, don't worry about that. So, anyway, with that being said, I should have brought an asthma inhaler. I'm going to need it today. Okay, let's pray. God, I got a lot to say. You've got a lot to say through me, God. And I just ask that right now, not before, not after, just right now, God, I just ask you to close my mouth and let the Holy Spirit speak through me as we learn some of the most marvelous things that's ever recorded in the Bible. God, we're excited. I know you're excited to show it to us, and we're excited to learn about it, read it, receive it, and know it. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. Before we begin, okay, gosh, I've got about 48 hours to teach y'all that what college level understand. Okay, this is a college level class, part of it. And you're going to actually see a lot of my gift on full display. Because really, my greatest gift is taking hard things, complicated things, and reducing them down to something that you can actually kind of chew on a little bit, okay? So, that's what we're going to start off with. We are going to do a study, a very quick illustration of a very fancy church word called hermeneutics, okay? Now, some of you might know, may know what hermeneutics is. Many of you don't. Many of you probably don't even care, but it is important, okay? It is important, okay? Before we begin, here we go. Can everybody kind of read that? Those of you that can, it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What age group do you need to be in to be able to read that? Kindergarten? 20. He's a mechanic. Sorry, Kathy. He did it, not me. I'm sorry. He's got a doctor for a wife, or a mom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Most of the Bible is really as easy to read as this, okay? Most of the Bible is easy to read as this, okay? This is a lesson in hermeneutics, which in my opinion, and it's vastly simplified, is a combination of common sense and perspective, okay? Common sense and perspective. I am not trying to trick you, okay? I'm not trying to trick you. What is this? Thank you. See, so easy a child can do it, right? I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to trick you. That's a 2, right? Most of the Bible is as simple as this. Most of it. What's this number? Right? Now we introduce perspective. Because from y'all's perspective, this is a 9. From my perspective, it's a 6. Okay? Because once you start reading the Bible, okay, you're going to hear about it, then you're going to start kind of listening to it, and then you're going to start believing just a little bit of it, but then you're going to start reading more of it, and you're going to start to understand more and more and more, but you're going to come to a roadblock at some point, and that roadblock is that sometimes 6s and 9s show up, but is there that much of a difference between 6 and 9? No. No. What about this one? Close. 1/111. Right? Real close. I know it's small writing. 1/111. From y'all's perspective, what is it to mine? 111. Would you rather have 1/111th of a dollar, or would you rather have $111? Right? I mean, now it's starting to make a difference, right? Well, what happens is that a lot of times there's just a bunch of this in the Bible, right? And we don't really understand. We understand the words just like we understand the figure, but we don't know if it goes like this or like this. There's two different perspectives, okay? Is everybody following me so far? There, even a child can follow me. Neil, you don't have a... You may go sit back there with that kid over there so she can explain it to you, okay? Neil's back, so I have to kind of jack with him a little bit. Okay, so what happens is you start reading the Bible and you're like, oh, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool. How do we figure out if this is a 6 or a 9? See, what happens is that sometimes what you have to do, and this is going to make so much sense to y'all, when you don't know if it's a 6 or 9, you have to look at the context. What is this number now? What is the number now? It can't be 62, can it? Seriously, can it be 62 to me? No, that's why context is important. My goodness. Do you know how many times I see, y'all remember when we did Job? 38 chapters, Job, God at the end of Job said, the last 38 chapters are crap. There's not a true thing said in any of them. But I see people posting what Bildad said. Does that make sense? God said it was wrong. Yet people are posting it like it's the greatest revelation of Christ ever. People say, well, I like to summon demons because it's in the Bible. The Bible warns you of that. He doesn't tell you to do it. Context is everything. But another way that we can use contextual clues is, what if I wrote the number 1,000 right here? It would look like 1,000 to you, but what would it look like to me? 0001. What if I put a comma behind the 1? Then it's 1,000, isn't it? It can't be the other way, because that's not real punctuation. That's why it's so important to know and understand and read your Bible so that you don't get led astray. Okay? Now, I don't think I've ever done this. I'm going to do it once. Does anybody have any questions? Like, I'm serious. Because you're not going to understand the rest of it if you don't understand this. Or it's not going to be that you can't understand it. It's going to be confusing. So just keep that in mind as we do it. Now I'm hot. My goodness. Honey, you dress me nice, but boy. Whew. Okay. Hey guys, can y'all come up here a second? Not all perspectives are the same. I've asked these two gentlemen to come up here.
Watch that first step.
You got the side with steps.
Dear Lord, we pray for Nate. She's always in our prayers. Okay, not all perspectives are the same. I asked these two guys to come up here and do a little visual illustration to show you something, okay? All right. We represent 3 different perspectives. Raise your hand if you believe that our God is one in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you believe that God sent His only Son to be born of a virgin and live a sinless life, to die on the cross for our sins, ensuring eternal life in heaven in the next life. Believe that Jesus will return one day and take us into heaven. Believe that one day believers will be raptured into heaven before the Antichrist arrives in the Great Tribulation. Believe that Jesus will return and institute a 1,000-year earthly kingdom. The devil will be removed from the scene, and resurrected saints will rule and reign with Him before the devil is once again released to deceive the whole world, finally culminating in the ultimate destruction of sin and death, when all who have rebelled against God are thrown into the lake of fire before God comes down from heaven and ushers us into an eternity without pain, sorrow, sin, or run-on sentences. Thank you, guys. Three different perspectives. All of us believe in Christ. All of us believe in heaven. All of us believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal, guys. Most of Christians, most of the numbers in the Bible are easy to read. 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10, right? We all agree on that. But sometimes when you get into the ones and the sixes and the nines, things get a little rocky, okay? Most of this rockiness, okay? Understand this. Most of this rockiness stems only in one area, future events. We don't really disagree in the grand scheme of things. We don't disagree with any other denominations big about past events. We may disagree on some things like order of worship or something like that, but most Christians believe in Christ, right? But we're talking about from now backwards, we believe the same. We do not believe the same as our other Christian brothers and sisters about what happens now moving forward. That's where the different perspectives come in. Okay? So, the fancy word for the study of future biblical events is what? Eschatology. Hermeneutics is the study of why do you believe what you believe? You have to use hermeneutics, okay? So that's a method of reading, but the three different views of future biblical events, and that is called eschatology. So if you ever hear that, study of future events. Three views. Man, I am sweating up a storm. The three different views of the future biblical events. Here's the first view. Okay, we'll call this Nate. Okay? The tribulation and the millennial kingdom are figurative or symbolic of our fight against the devil and the influence of sin. They are not to be taken literally whatsoever. Neither do they believe in what is listed in Thessalonians 4, the rapture. They do not believe in the rapture either. It's all figurative. Okay? Now, when I read you who believes this, I am not saying the people that go to these churches believe this. I'm saying the denomination believes this. Does everybody understand that? You can't go up to a person in one of these denominations and go, well, you're stupid because you believe this. No, they may not. Okay? They may not. This is about denominations, not the people that go to them. Now, we know that if you go to that denomination, you're more likely to follow in that denominational line of thinking. Okay? What denomination are we? Cowboy! No, I don't know. I'm just joking. I hate saying non-denominational because non-denominational has become a denomination. So, the denominations that believe in a figurative or symbolic future events are all the Catholic and related denominations. Orthodox, Episcopal, Lutheran, as far down as Church of Christ, and even some Methodist. They do not believe this. That's why when I teach on some of this stuff, people come up to me and go, I have never heard that before. Because you went to one of these denominations. They don't believe that. They're not going to teach it to you. Okay? Doesn't make them wrong. It's a different perspective. This is what is called an all-millennial view. No millennium. No rapture. There's now. Then at some point in time, Jesus is going to come back, and that's heaven. That's future events right there. It's right now. One day Jesus is going to come back. Right then heaven starts. It's not really what the Bible says, but not if you take a literal translation. The second view is that... Do not laugh at other views. Do not laugh at other views. Do not laugh at other views. Okay, the second view is that Jesus will not return to this earth until we as the church have baptized the entire world. And when we have taken this world over for Christ, then and only then is he going to come back. I'm going to take a seat because this is going to be a while. Right? But that is really a view, guys. That is really a view. That somehow, because it ain't going to be my preaching that does it, obviously. You know? It's not going to happen. Or, another version of this same view says that we are living in the millennial kingdom right now. Wait till I give you some descriptors of the millennial kingdom, okay? This is called the post-millennial view. The millennium only, when you hear all these pronouns and pre-nouns and a-nouns and whatever they are, right? When you hear the word millennial in it, are you amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial? It's talking about when Jesus comes back. Premillennial means Jesus comes back before the millennial kingdom, right? All millennials said, don't even worry about him coming back before or after. There's not one, right? That's the second view. The third view is Jesus will rapture the church, then the tribulation, which includes the Antichrist, then Armageddon, then Jesus wins. We rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Then after Satan is defeated once and for all, God will come down and live with us forever. This is the third perspective where we can look at future events as a literal interpretation of end times events as explicitly described in the Bible. That is called a premillennial view. Premillennial view. Is that for me? Thank you. Appreciate that. A premillennial view. Jesus comes back before the millennium, reigns for 1,000 years. Satan is released, defeated, thrown the great white throne of judgment. Everybody's thrown into hell. Heaven starts. Okay? This is the viewpoint that I ascribe to. Okay? Why have I spent so much time explaining this? Because to understand everything else today, you have to see what perspective I'm looking from. Okay? You're not going to be able to tell. If I don't tell you what I'm talking about, I am going to explain the literal view of the millennial kingdom, okay? There are probably half of the at least Protestant denominations do not agree with me, okay? We, the people that believe as I believe, honestly, like the N.T. Wright, who is one of the greatest theologians ever, does not believe in the rapture and does not believe in the millennial kingdom. He would call me a kook. I'm not going to call him a kook because he's way smarter than me. He knows fancy words for kook, right? He's brilliant. We have a difference of opinion. We have a difference of opinion, okay? Here's your word of warning before we begin. You like that before we begin? I've been talking nonstop for 20 minutes. If you or anyone else, please pay attention. This is probably the two most important statements I'll make all day, okay? If you or anyone else lets the discussion of future biblical events come between you and a brother, another believer, no matter how right you may ultimately be, you will be 100% wrong. Do I make myself clear? If you let the discussion of future biblical events with another Christian, honest-to-goodness believer, if you let the discussion of future biblical events come between you and your brother, no matter how right you might potentially be, you're wrong. This is the difference. Listen, y'all need to actually pray for somebody in this congregation right now because she sent me a picture of a piece of coconut the size of an actual man's toenail. Didn't you, Mrs. Osborne? She sure did. She was like, yummy. I threw up in my coffee. It literally looked like a man's full-grown toenail in her cereal. She knows I'm joking. She did it to joke with me. It's different perspectives. I like coconut. They don't like coconut. Or they love coconut. I don't like it. It's just a difference in perspective, okay? I'm not here to tell you what you should believe. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says through a literal interpretation. Then you can go wherever you want to with it. Okay? Here's the point. Our opinions about future events should never be stronger than our love for one another. Never, never let the talk of end times make you question other believers. They have a different perspective. Okay? Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. If you got your Bibles, I would really like it. And kids, children, young adults, anybody under 21, I know you've got a smartphone on you. Pull it out and pull up Revelation chapter 20. Y'all are the only ones that I know. Every single one of you got your Bibles. Do a Google search. Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Then I saw, this starting in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. Now you have to understand that Revelation chapter 20, the 7-year tribulation has already happened. We have already, anybody that was before the tribulation started, if you were a believer, you've been raptured into heaven to await God's wrath on earth. And then once his wrath is complete, Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon to defeat the Antichrist, and we come riding with him, and we'll all be on white horses. Okay? This is the next thing that happens. Then I saw an angel coming from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Afterward, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Where? Here or in heaven? Here or in heaven? Here, right? They reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. We're a part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. We are blessed to share in the resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, meaning we'll never die again. We've already died to self. Then, whether we're raptured or pass away, we will not feel the sting of death. God will rescue us as believers before our body dies because he promised that. That right there should be the reason you accept Christ right there. You will not know when your body dies. You will not be present. Okay? That's why when Christians die with a smile on their face, they're like, oh, they died so peaceful. They weren't there when they died. They had already been taken. That was the God grin, right? Simply put, these five verses say three things. Jesus will rule for 1,000 years on earth. Those who have accepted Jesus will rule and reign with him in resurrected bodies. And the devil will be locked away where he can no longer deceive the nations. Okay? But life in the millennial kingdom isn't relegated to a few verses in Revelation. The most vivid descriptions of the millennial kingdom come from the prophet Isaiah, right? Comes from the prophet Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Now, we're going to switch from what the millennium is to what it will be like in the millennium. Okay? Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 6. Now, really, the whole first part of that, I believe, is really kind of part of it, but we're only going to start in 6. In that day, now, I want you to listen for two things. Remember that one of the views, the post-millennial view, says that we're living in the millennial kingdom right now. Okay? So I want you to ask yourself, is this literally happening right now, or has it ever happened in the past outside of the Garden of Eden? Okay? Is this happening right now, number one, or has it ever happened outside of the Garden of Eden? Here we go. Isaiah 11:6. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. Have you ever heard the little Christian term, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb? It never says that in the Bible. It says the wolf will lie down with the lamb. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth, not heaven, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. That is the millennial kingdom. I ask you to listen for two things. Does anybody think that that has ever happened outside the Garden of Eden? Does anybody right now think that that is happening right now? Okay. It's all about perspective, isn't it? Well, I guess that answers the question if animals are going to be in the millennial kingdom, right? They're everywhere. He doesn't even say anything about us. He's like, hey, I'm going to have bears and lions and lambs. Sorry, Ty, there's going to be sheep. There's a lot of cows. There is a lot of cows. There is a lot of cows. All right. This is a step back towards the Garden of Eden. Because remember, the way God intended for all of us was the Garden of Eden, not this. We messed it up. He's going to fix it. We can't fix it. Only God can fix it. He's reinstituting the Garden of Eden slowly. Will not be fulfilled until after the millennium, but it starts now. Peace and harmony will reign in the millennial kingdom. And above all, safety. Remember, the devil's been locked away. He's been locked away. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Y'all do that while I get a drink. Starting in verse 17. Isaiah 65, 17. Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad. Rejoice forever in my creation. This is God talking. Be glad. Rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people. And the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. Okay. Starting right there, no longer will babies die when only a few days old. Is this talking about something in heaven, or is it talking about something on earth? On earth, do babies die in heaven? Perspective. Sometimes things can look like a 6 or a 9, but ask yourself, are babies born and dying in heaven? No. So this has to be about the millennial kingdom. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Only the cursed ones will die at 100. In those days, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. They will not work in vain, and their children will not be doomed to misfortune. For the people are blessed by the Lord, and their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they can even call to me while they are still talking about their needs. Listen to this. Really, pay attention to what I'm saying right now. I will answer them before they even call to me while they are still talking about their needs. I will answer their prayers before they pray it. Does anybody not want that? Oh, my goodness. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. This is the best one. But the snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. Wow. That millennial kingdom. That is God's plan for you. The renewal in this passage, it says the renewal of the earth. God says, I'm making a new heaven and a new earth. It is my opinion. If you have a different one, that's fine. My opinion is that it's still going to be technically the same earth at the same location, blah, blah, blah. But like us, it's going to be a resurrected earth, free from the pollution of sin and, you know, There won't be any deserts. Everything will be bountiful. There will be no hunger, no wars, no nothing until the very end. Right? Okay. People will live as long as trees. It'll go back. You know what the, how old was the oldest human? Who was the oldest human? Methuselah, right? In the Old Testament, how long did he live? 969 years old. It's going back to that. I am so glad it's going to be in the millennial kingdom, because if you ask me if I want to live 969 years in this earth right now, take me now, God. Just take me now, God. Y'all don't be sad. I'm going home. People will live as long as trees. Every need will be met before we even know to pray for it. But I want to point out one last thing before I have to move on. It's in 65, 22b. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. Does anybody see what that's saying right there? How many people groups are there in that? My people will live as long as trees. Who's the second group of people? The chosen. The chosen. Where am I at? I can't even read my own stuff. My chosen ones. This is a different people. And my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. That is us as resurrected saints in the millennial kingdom. Right there. I've proven it to you from the New Testament. A literal interpretation says this is exactly what's going to happen. I even went to the Old Testament and showed you two passages out of 150. Did you know that there are 50 specific references by Jesus himself in the four Gospels, distinct references to the Messianic kingdom? If Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do, why are we saying that that's figurative and it's not going to happen? Because listen, y'all may think, man, he's smart. He's not that smart. Because I don't trust myself to read something and then say, well, God must not mean that. I must figure out what he must mean. That is a dangerous slope. You have to read the Bible, because let me tell you something. Did God tell Adam and Eve to stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did they? No. He said, if you eat of that tree, you'll die. Did that happen? Bingo! And then God said, this world has become so wicked. Noah, build a boat, and I'm going to save you and your family. I'm going to wipe everybody else out. Was that literal or figurative? Literal. It happened just like that. He said, I'm going to fill the earth with water. He did, and everybody died except seven people, right? And then God said, I'm going to make a nation out of one man that has a barren wife that's 90. Was that a figurative nation, or was it a literal nation? It was a literal nation. Rebecca was also barren. If it wasn't going to start with generation one, it was definitely going to start with generation two. But she had a baby too, right? Then all of this stuff happens. And then the prophet starts saying the Messiah is coming. And he's going to be ordinary looking, but he's going to be the Son of God. And he's going to live a perfect life, and he's going to be killed as the perfect sacrifice and raised to life 3 days later. Was that figurative or was it literal? Literal. I love this. It's literal, right? So why do we think that all of a sudden, just because it's us now, all the other prophecies were literal? Why can these not be? It's okay if you think differently. I won't agree with you, but I am here to tell you that if you go look at the postmillennial view or the amillennial view, you'll agree with it, because they'll talk you into it. It's convincing. But the problem is it's not convincing all the way through. They have to read it like a 6 sometimes, and then they get to decide when it's a 9. Does that make sense? They get to decide. When you don't take the Bible as literal, you get to decide if it's 1 over 111 or 111 over 1. You get to decide. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what? Lean not on your own understanding. I take the Bible literally, because I'm not willing to lean on my own understanding. I'm always going to start with exactly what the Bible says. Because I don't have to prove to you what it says. You're going to have to prove to me that that's not what it means. I don't have to prove to you what it says. I've done nothing to you except read straight out of the good book. That's it. Everyone, Old Testament and New Testament. I've even given you the 3 different views on it. I'm not trying to hide anything. I believe in a literal interpretation. And I guess I'm going to cut y'all a break, because here's where I am. Here's what I got left. How about we pick that up next week? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for who you are. And next week, God, I am so excited that you're going to explain to us what we will be doing in the millennial kingdom. What will our jobs be? What will be our aspirations? What will be our daily life? What will we eat, drink? Do we even have to? God, you have answered all those questions for us. If we just will seek you and find everything that you love so dearly and love it like that as well. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your messages. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for all of the believers out there, whether they agree with this one little part or not. I think it's a big part. They may not, but we all love you, Jesus, and we will all rejoice in heaven when we finally get there, however it happens. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.